Begin this midweek service with a singing of hymn number 970. Holy Father, God of love, throned in majesty above, just and true are all thy ways, worthy of eternal praise. 970. Tonight, out of God's most holy word, you can find in the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Gospel of John, chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the two sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. For the reading of God's most holy word, add his blessing and teach us to pray. O most holy and sovereign, almighty God, and yet, Lord, thou who art a God of eternal love and overflowing love, gracious and merciful art thou, O Lord. And we as poor sinners who come this evening again, in the middle of this week, Lord, to turn unto thy holy name and to come before thy blessed throne of grace. O Lord, we would come boldly in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we would plead, Lord, that entrance into heaven through what our dear Lord and Savior hath done for us. O Lord, do you come to plead thy mercy within us and thy presence amongst us, and thy almighty power to attend the word, that rebel sinners may be broken and felled before thee, by the power of the Lord, that there might be those trembling ones who come petitioning and crying. The prayerless soul may be taught to pray, and the worldly-minded sinner may be brought unto Christ to beg for forgiveness. The poor backsliding sinners may be drawn unto Christ to plead for mercy. O Lord, that thou wilt come tonight into each and every one of our hearts, that the word might have utterance and free course, and great power might attend, that thy name might be lifted up on high and glorified, and thou, Lord God, might be exalted in all these things. Lord, we pray for a crumb of mercy for our souls. We pray that each one of us, Lord, may be brought to Jesus' feet, and that we might weep with our dear woman and behind him. Oh, that we might rub the hairs, his feet with the hairs of our head and reverently worship him. And though we are full of sin, oh, Jesus is full of grace. And thou, Father, art full of grace. Oh, that thou would open our mouths wide and fill us. Oh, thou God of love, compel us to walk the gospel way. Fill our souls with the knowledge of thy saving grace, of the blessings in Jesus Christ. Lord, give us a hope, a living hope in the dear Savior. Oh, found us, Lord, upon the rock of ages, upon his smitten side, upon the flowing blood and water, the first to atone and to cleanse us the latter. Oh, Lord, these works we plead. Leave us not unto ourselves. Poor and wretched we are, Lord, and can nothing of self. And we come again tonight, Lord, to confess poverty and weakness, that we can do nothing right of self. We plead, Lord, that thou might wash all our worship together. Oh, Jesus Christ, do mediate for us, intercede for us. Oh, that thou would pray for us, that we may be given faith and that faith may not fail. Oh, come, thou blessed Holy Spirit. Oh, do attend the word, enter our hearts, apply the word, shine with light in our souls to dispel that terrible darkness. Oh, that Jesus Christ may be given to us, the eye of faith may behold him, and come boldly before him, pleading mercy, begging for cleansing, begging for the application of that glorious theme of Christ's blood. Lord, do give us of these things, remember us. Bless thy people who have tasted of thy loving kindness, shine in their souls further. Oh, that they might grow in grace in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Though they may sink lower and lower in estimation of self, yet to praise thee, to admire thy love in Jesus Christ. Lord, give much love, much unity, the bond of the Spirit, that bond of peace, to grant, Lord, that unfeigned humility, though we be less than nothing, yet we may love the brethren and sisters, a token of thy love and thy favor. Oh, that we may be given, Lord, the grace to follow thy commandments, to humbly take up our crosses joyfully, willingly, daily, and follow thee. O Lord God, remember us and our families. Remember our great needs, and help us to raise up our children. Shine in our hearts with wisdom. Oh, give us, Lord, strength and faithfulness. Grant that thy holy word may be our guide, our light, and that word that we might teach them. O Lord, we pray that we too may be able to be examples unto them. Help us, O Lord God, for we feel our worthlessness and weakness and poverty. O Lord, that they might become thy children, that they might become the pillars of thy future church. Oh, remember us, Lord, in our great need as they grow up in this evil world and enter occupations or schooling, that thou, Lord, might spare them. For Satan's snares are many, and wickedness abounds in every place. But, Lord, thou art almighty. Oh, that thou would favor our children, and spare them, and bless them. Give them, Lord, those that seek a partner life, that thou might answer prayer, that thou would give prayer, and that thou would show them that thou art wise and able to perform all things. Oh, Lord, remember us in our occupations, in our businesses, in our homes. Do shine, Lord, with thy presence. And if thou should be pleased to send adversity and sorrow and distress, O Lord, bear us up. And do come, thou blessed Savior. Do come and guide and lead in the troubles of life. Do shine in our hearts with love. And do give us a patient submission unto thy holy wisdom, that we might see that thou art God, that thou shalt overrule for good. Hear us, O Lord God, for thy great name's sake. Lord, remember our dear parents as they climb up in years, face that solemn thought of eternity. Oh, Lord, that I might bless them there. Grant them, Lord, that grace. Oh, visit their souls. Give them, Lord, a testimony of thy loving kindness and faithfulness. And, oh, Lord, we beg thee that it may not be said of them they have lived life in vain. And so, Lord, we set before thee our many needs. Do we remember especially those of sicknesses and those with burdens too heavy to bear? Or that they may be given grace, Lord, our beloved friends, to cast the care upon thee. Or that they might believe in thy loving kindness and faithfulness. And that thou, O Lord Jesus, hast broad shoulders, strong shoulders, and art able to bear the burdens of thy people. Oh, that we might be willing and to cast our burdens upon thee. O give, Lord, that grace to cry unto thee in our sorrows and distress, to believe as thou art compassionate and careth for us in our sorrows. And so thou shalt be exalted and glorified in every path of life. Hear us, O Lord God. Other hope we have none. Bless our beloved brethren. O Lord, we long to hear of the reports of thy goodness and thy rich favors, and thy power in the preaching and souls may be drawn unto Christ. O Zion, edified and strengthened and blessed, cheered and encouraged in the wilderness journey, and poor sinners' hearts broken brought out of the world and Satan's darkness into thy glorious kingdom. Lord, do prosper then that preaching, and give us more men whom thou hast thrust out and whom thou hast anointed. Lord, we ask a blessing upon thy sacred and holy and precious word. We ask, Lord, that it might be that precious book in our homes, that most read book of ourselves, the beloved truth of our heart. And Lord, we beg that thou might prosper the labors of man, those organizations, we think especially of the Trinitarian Bible Society. O Lord, that they might be faithful unto thee, and that those men that are occupied in translating, that thou would pour thy spirit upon them. We plead, Lord, for that truth to be continued. And thy own word, that thy word shall abide forever and ever, forever firm and sure. Prosper that labor. Send that word throughout the world. Prove thyself yet the unchangeable, ever faithful God. Lord, convert yet us unto thy glorious kingdom. And Lord, remember us now. Oh, we feel our poverty and can do nothing without thee. Lord, we would praise thee. We would bless thee. O, we'd extol thee in high. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. O Lord God, we thank thee that thou hast a people to save, a people whom thou shalt cheer, a people whom thou shalt shine with thy light and with thy countenance within, a people who shall come to the knowledge of thy glorious Son, Jesus Christ, a people who shall be blessed with salvation in their soul and the cleansing of their filthiness. O glorious truth in Jesus Christ, that beloved Son of thine, thy holy and eternal delight, and he who becomes the delight of his beloved bride. O Lord, we do bless thee for him and all his work upon earth, and his work he continues even now in heaven. O blessed Jesus, we praise thee. We glorify thy holy name. O wilt thou remember us this night as we gather together. Do wash and cleanse, O Jesus, all our worship, that it might be acceptable in the Father's sight. We do praise Thee, O Father, for the gift of Thy Spirit, that we poor ignorant fools may understand, that we may be enabled to come, that faith may be implanted within us, and He may direct our foolish eyes unto Jesus Christ. We humbly fall down before Thee to worship Thee. Oh, remember us tonight. Bless us that word within our souls. Forgive us where we fail in asking, and do make up in Thy high courts, O Lord Jesus Christ, on our spiritual behalf. And we ask all these things in Thy precious and all-prevailing name. Amen. Continue with singing hymn 968. Hark, my soul, it is the Lord. 'Tis thy Savior, hear his word. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Hymn 968. If you unto need the Lord's help again for this evening, we draw your powerful attention to John 21, verse 16. John 21, verse 16. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Beloved friends, we would attempt to touch upon a most precious theme. We would say almost the most precious theme of themes. And that is the love of God to the heart of a poor sinner. Oh, the love of a divine and holy God. The love of an almighty and eternal God. That he manifests unto poor sinners who deserve nothing but the condemnation of their souls, the just judgments against their souls. Eternal death is the right of us forlorn creatures. And yet, tonight, beloved friends, we may speak of such a precious question that the Lord Jesus Christ inquired of Peter. And we know the condition here. We know that the disciples went fishing. And the disciples who were waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit, distracted for a moment to go there to the Sea of Tiberias to their former occupation and to spend a fruitless night endeavoring to catch a net of fishes. Oh, how fruitless the efforts of mankind are in all manner of things, but oh, especially in the enshrining of love. The enshrining of that gracious theme, the theme in which God has promised to bless people with, a peculiar people. There is a river we read recorded in Psalm 46. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. And beloved friends, we do need to partake of that river. The river of God's eternal love. That precious and holy and pure and never ceasing love of God. That will truly constrain us to walk in His ways, to be obedient to His commandments, to heed His words concerning us. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And beloved friends, we would emphasize tonight again that when we speak of this love, it is what we believe is a gift from God. When we speak of God's love or the examinations we hope to come to each one of us, whether we know of this love, whether Jesus Christ questions us whether this love is even within us, that we emphasize, beloved friends, it is God's gift to us. We want to bring in that solemn truth. There is no love within us but what we call mercenary love. When I mean mercenary love, I mean a self-profiting love. Well, we've got lots of that. A love that we can benefit with. A love that we can praise ourselves with. But this love that we're speaking tonight, beloved friends, is the gift of the God of heaven. We find that recorded in 1 John 4, 7. Where it says, and this was manifest, the love of God was in us. And then it speaks there of the origin of that love. For God is love. And tonight, dear friends, as we would speak of that love with one another tonight, we must have it as a gift from God. Our hymn writer himself says that his love was cold. Lord, this is my chief complaint, that my love is cold and faint. Oh, he did love and adore the Lord Jesus Christ, but he says this, oh, for grace to love thee more. Oh, for grace, that the grace of God may be given unto my soul, that I might truly exhibit that sign of love. A love given unto me, a love that flows forth from me, because it is God's love within me. And there, friends, you and I need to come. Oh, to have that love of God given unto us, that from the first to the last, may we be shown how it is that we love Him, how it is that we are obedient to Him, how is it that we persevere in the way. That's faith is working with the power of that love. Faith worketh by love. Power applied to us and power that moves us that we might work the works of love. God's love to us. Do we have that love, beloved friends, within us? It is a divine love. As God, so is it. It is an almighty power within us which we cannot resist. Oh, the evidence of that love melts our heart and mysteriously moves within us to continually draw us as poor lost sinners to Jesus' feet. Oh, did it ring an echo within our hearts, say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? You see, beloved friends, the Lord makes us poor sinners. Oh, the Lord afflicts us in trials and troubles. In the beginning, the Lord distresses us with our sinnership, with our weakness and our filthiness. But there's a mysterious drawing love and that brings that soul to plead Christ. To be loved, to have that love known of Jesus Christ to us. That's what we need. That God might visit us. And God might shine with that love within us. There's no greater theme. There's no more blessed theme, dear friends. And it shall be the means by which we overcome all obstacles. And the means by which we shall be drawn unto Jesus Christ's feet. It will be the very means by which we will leave our other idols and our other gods. For the love of God, Almighty God in heaven, will enable us to leave off our former idols, our other idols, our old idols, and love Him alone. Now the question comes, beloved friends. Tonight, this is a question that Jesus examines Peter. They're out fishing. And the Lord comes on that shore of the Sea of Tiberias. He appears again to His disciples to teach him another lesson. I know in a sense we have this as the gospel. As preachers of the gospel, they cannot catch no fish in their own. We might see it ourselves. How fruitless are our labors. How empty is every single sermon without the Lord Jesus Christ's blessing and the Lord Jesus Christ's power. But let the Lord give a commandment, and the word shall come with power, and love shall fill the heart of a soul, a sinner's soul, and he might be fed the bread of life. But we want to move, friends, into the furtherance of this chapter where he's revealed to the disciples that come to shore. On the shore already is that, are those fishes and that bread. And they come to dine with the beloved Savior. He feeds them of that prepared meal. Oh, they're overjoyed with His presence as He comes again and to comfort them, to speak to them. But then He comes with that serious question. As the breakfast meal is over, Jesus turns to that beloved disciple of His, Peter. And He asks that question as we would be asked ourselves, what if the Lord should come into our midst this evening, our beloved friends, and ask the same question to us? Do you love me? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved friends? If we would substitute Peter's name for our name, and the Lord would ask us, what answer could we give Him? If the Lord came into our homes, and we were at home with our families, and the Lord Jesus Christ asked the same question, do you truly love me? Do you love me? Even deeper in the outward sense, beloved friends, do you love me in your heart? Am I the most eminent? Am I the greatest longing, the chiefest desire, foremost and forefront in all of your thoughts and meditations? Do you love me in that respect? Can we give the same answer as Peter? In our hymn, in the third hymn, I believe it is, he says, do not I love thee, O Lord? Hold my heart and see. in my heart are the true longings for thee, Lord Jesus, thou knowest. Thou who knowest all things knowest indeed that I love thee. Thou, O Lord, hast become the chief desire of my soul. What a wonder, beloved friends, if we could answer the affirmative in this question tonight. And more than that we could answer in the affirmative, we could give a reason why we do love him. The reason made known to us. How the Lord has come in with his power and shone in with his love and transformed us. Taken away our other idols and our other chief desires. And ruled and reigned in our heart. When the Lord Jesus turns to Peter in this scene, the Lord says to Peter the first time, Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? More than these. And the Lord will, we believe, ask each one of us that same question. Do you love me more than these? Now, the meaning of that is we can take it two ways. We can take it in the one way in that, do you love me more than these other disciples? And in that sense, we feel that Peter does not give a answer in that sense that he could love more than them. But what he could say was, Lord, I do love thee. I have every reason to love thee. And be called out of my former occupation to follow thee. I've witnessed thy love, thy power, thy mercy, thy exceeding great loving kindness in so many scenes in life. Was brought up into the Mount of Transfiguration to hear the voice of the Father. Moses and Elias talking with thee. How blessed was Peter in so many senses. Oh, he knew something of restoring mercy after having fallen away so grievously. And having wept those bitter tears of sorrow and repentance in his and the awfulness of his state that he knew when he denied Jesus. He knew all these things, friends. But he could not say, I believe, in his own heart that he could love more than those disciples because he knew, that there was no love within him. And he would fall, I believe he knew in his own heart he would fall away 10,000 times a day. Was it not for the mercy of God, the faithfulness of God, kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day, we find recorded of Peter in his epistle. But if we take it in the second sense, dear friends, lovest thou more than these and these flesh? Lovest thou me more than outward things, than worldly things, than temporal things? Then we could say that Peter would say, Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord, I do love thee more than these things. Now, how could he say that, friends? Because Christ was known in his soul. Because the love of God in Jesus Christ had blessed his soul, had melted his soul, had united his soul to Jesus Christ. That's why he could say it. Those other things, they plagued his heart. They had been chief desires within his heart, but now, how different it was. Can we say that, friends? Can we say that the Lord has taught us how great he is, and how gracious he is, and how kind he is, and how forbearing he is, and patient he is? Can we say, beloved friends, that God has loved us with his divine and pure love and broken our obstinate and hard hearts? Can we say that the love of God has shone within our souls and we've seen the beauty of God Himself in His Son Jesus Christ, how much more excellent He was than the things of this earth? Peter, in his epistle, says, "For we are not redeemed with corruptible things as gold and silver, but with incorruptible things, the precious blood of the of Christ, the Lamb of God." Can we come again to that dying Savior, made known in the heart of a poor sinner, whereby he could praise Him and testify of His love to him, and answer His Lord Jesus Christ as He inquired of Him, "Yea, Lord, I love Thee more than all these things. Thou knowest my heart and Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love Thee." He would confess that he had loved those other things, but it had been taken away. It had become empty. It had become a poor, perishing thing that he knew and realized and understood that he could not take with him to the grave. Something of Job's confession. "Naked I came in into this world, and naked I shall leave." Friends, have we been taught this solemn truth within us too? That this world is a place only to prepare for the coming eternity. That the goods of this world are for our using, and that's it. And that He has warned Jesus Himself that we are to take care for food and raiment. And that's it. And we are to seek for the welfare of our never-dying soul. Continually. And we have to come to a knowledge of this theme, love. God's love within us. God's love that constrains us. God's love that melts us. And God's love that becomes so powerful that overcomes all the things that are enemies to His love. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Friends, we want to meet, speak of the things wherein his soul loves Jesus and loves God and confesses before Him that love to Him. For we believe, I believe in my heart. It dropped in with such sweetness this afternoon, friends, as I was working out in the field this text and this theme. The honest confession of our souls wherein it is that we love Jesus, that we testify of our love to Jesus and our desire for Him. As if the Lord would inquire in our own hearts, "Do you really, truly love me?" It was that very thing that Newton in his hymn writes, "'Tis a point I long to know. Do I love the Lord or not?" And when the Lord comes to inquire in us, and to ask that solemn question within us, "O sinner, lovest thou me?" Then you might be able to say with Simon, son of Jonas, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Well, friends, we believe in the first place the wonder of salvation. The wonder of redeeming love. The wonder that God, who is so holy and so just and so pure, the offended God. Yes, friends, is the offended God in heaven. They may look down upon earth and forgive us and smile upon us. It's the greatest wonder of love that we shall ever experience in that sense. Peace with His God. People speak so lightly today of that beautiful text, "For God so loved the world." And they pretend that the gospel is so free and inclusive. And they forget the reason of the wonders of God's love. trampled upon this precious theme of love, of God's love. That God could, that God would, and that God did love a people upon this earth. Friends, have you ever read Genesis 6:5? Have you ever read Genesis 6:5 and wondered how it is that God could love the world? Has it ever been applied to us? So what really there, Genesis 6:5? And I'm going there to make sure, dear friends, that memory is correct. And it's that God looked down from earth, from heaven to earth, upon man. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Have you ever contemplated that solemn text? But we speak of God loving the world, and God loving a peculiar people, and God saving a people, and God redeeming a people, and God forgiving a people. Not as we forgive, because at least in my mind, so often there is always the remembrance of what the offender has done to us. Not so with God. His love was so perfect and so pure that the transgressions of that people shall be cast into the ocean of forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. And dear friends, that is why over and over, sermon after sermon, it would bring back this same theme. A dying sinner. An unworthy sinner. A convicted sinner. A condemned sinner. A ruined sinner. And a hell-bound sinner. Nothing to bring in our hands before God. But his just condemnation of us is just casting out of us, out of his sight forever. And when, friends, we see this in its proper light, it is then that the gospel of Jesus Christ is truly magnified. It is then that the gospel of Jesus Christ is so glorified. And the love of God is set in its highest consideration. That God could love such a people. And then it goes even deeper. Not only that God could love such a people, but that God could love me. Ever begin to wonder that? Can God ever love me? Can God ever love such a wretched, wicked, hardened sinner as me? When we are brought into these type of contemplations, these type of self-examinations, it is then that God's love becomes an amazing wonder to our souls. Consideration that God shall unite to himself, draw to himself a people, to sing praises to him, to glorify him, and to exclaim from the depths of the heart that they do love him, for what has been known, made known to them. That's when John 3:16 becomes such a precious text. When I am redeemed, and I am delivered from the depths of hell, when I am drawn into the arms of a loving Savior, and the wonders of redeeming love, when I am forgiven the multitude of my sins, the wretchedness of my sins, and the debt of sin that I have committed against this God, is forgiven my soul. You see, friends, we talk about that burden sin, a burden of sin, the anxiety of sin, the terrifying realization of that sin, and then to have it borne of the Lord Jesus Christ, then to have it laid on his glorious shoulders, that's love. God should punish his son. That God should deliver Barabbas and punish his son. The highest act of love this world has ever seen. And you and I are Barabbas. That's that wonderful scene there at the judgment hall. That Barabbas was delivered and Christ was crucified. Is that not amazing, friends? In here? The wonders of Christ's love for me. It's not just the act of the Father, it's the act of Christ upon earth as well, friends. I'm speaking this morning to a dear wife in Hebrews chapter 12 and 1 to 22. Speaking of that word, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him despised the shame, enduring the cross. There it is. Oh, the eye of faith fastens itself upon the wonders of that dying Savior. His joy, that black bride, the price, the cross, the shame, the curse that was laid upon, the curse that he endured, the awful shame of that cross, the awful pain of that cross, will never, ever witness another act of this type of love. But beloved friends, can you live without it? Are you living without it? Without a knowledge of it? Without the melting of the heart through it? And the love of Christ made known to us in it? There we want to begin, friends. Do we love Jesus for that act to us? The love of God shed abroad in our heart, and the love of God made known to us through that brazen serpent lifted up between heaven and earth. The act of God's love being shed continually in the child of God, in the bride's heart, from the time in which they are arrested to the time in which they die, day after day. That's why, friends, when I'm preaching, when someone asks me what I think of another man's preaching, you can pick out these things in the sermons. You can pick it out in certain texts. Is there that deep love to Christ for what he has done to my soul? Is it in the preaching? I'll be very careful when I say that someone directed me to a particular preacher and asked me that I should listen to this because it was should be very beneficial. And I've said this before, but it comes in our theme tonight again. This particular minister, he's very well esteemed. He's got more learning than I ever will have and more names and letters behind his name than I'll ever have. But when he gets to heaven, he wants to see the Apostle Paul first and then Jesus. Does that sound preaching? Lovest thou me? King Jesus? Is he not all of our theme and all of our eminence? Does he not stand in the forefront? Is it not he that shall receive all our honor? Is it not him that we long to see? Is it not him that we long to praise? Is it him that we not exalt in the highest for the wonders of redeeming love and his continual faithfulness and kindness to us and his preserving mercy and his mediatorial work upon in heaven as he guided our soul day after day? Or as he sent forth his Holy Spirit within us, as he blessed us with those visits of his blessed Spirit and his powerful word, and melted our hearts and humbled our hearts, but cheered our hearts and encouraged our hearts to continue on. Shall we then not cast our crowns at His feet alone? Whom desireth Thee in heaven, O Lord, but Thee? And friends, we would ask the same to you. Do we have that same love to Jesus for His kindness to us and His visits to us? When Jesus visits my troubled breast, my fears are gone, my doubts are gone, and I am blessed. If Jesus should come to us, and has Jesus come to us, friends, with this question, lovest thou me? And then we could say, yea, Lord, thou knowest, although wretched I am, and poor I am, and unworthy I am, yea, Lord, I love thee. I love thee for thy visits, for the rich teachings in thy word, and the comforts to my soul from day to day. Why do I love the Lord? Oh, for His redeeming love, but also for His continual visits, His lifting up of my downcast soul. His work, beloved friends, is not a finished work. His work is a continual work in heaven. He rises to heaven as that glorious ascended Savior. He rises to heaven as that glorious conqueror. And He rises to heaven, beloved friends, as our eternal high priest to carry on intercession for us. And how we do need Him daily to sustain our soul. How we do need Him to cheer our soul as when it's downcast, when it's troubled, and when it's exceedingly tried by its own weakness, its own sinfulness, and own forgetfulness. I think that's probably the reason I love hymn 199. Prone to leave Thee, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. How strange. Perhaps there may be those in our midst that question that very hymn. How can these things be? It's because, beloved friends, a child of God is spiritual. He has the Holy Spirit within him and his own wretched flesh to contend with. He's all those trials of life. He still has his human eyes, his human heart, his human passions to deal with, his own weakness, his own foolishness. But blessed be God, he has the Spirit within him, the Holy Spirit, and that inward principle of grace within him that pants after Jesus Christ. And has tasted of divine love. So that when the conflicts come. And when the trials come. And when the flesh fights against grace. And fights against God's love. The soul might be lifted up through the blessed Holy Spirit. To contemplate the dear Lord Jesus Christ. And the victory gained by Him. I shall overcome through Him. That loved me and washed me in His precious blood and strengthens my soul in its troubles. Just like this afternoon, the question comes, do you love me? Do you really love me? Do you love me for my goodness? Do you love me for my death? Do you love me for my past kindnesses, my past visits to your soul? Do you love me for the truth contained in the Word of God of me? Do you really love me? And when we exercise in these things and meditate on the truth, beloved friends, then our soul will say with certainty and reality, yea, Lord, I love thee for the greatness of thy visits and the greatness of thy love to my soul. We know what it is when the hymn writer says, I had fallen away 10,000 times a day. I maintained through the love of God in my soul, through the faith given to my soul to believe in God and to persevere in the way. Poor I am in self, yet rich in Christ. Weak and helpless in self, yet strong in the love of my beloved Savior, the divine power invested in Jesus Christ. And when we can meditate on these things, when the question is brought to us in our minds by the blessed Holy Spirit, lovest thou me, O sinner? Then when we can say with truth, we can say with reality, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Ought not to be grieved at the repetition of the question. There's so much within us that is foolishness and emptiness and worldliness. But we may say, yes, there is the divine love of God in Christ Jesus also evident. Friends, if our hearts been melted by this love, it's nothing like any love that we can ever speak of this earth. It's like God. It's almighty in its power. It constrains the most profane and rebellious of sinners to turn. It conforms the most self-righteous and pious soul to flee to Christ for mercy and help. The love of Christ will soften the hardest of hearts that mocks God, laughs at his word, and is at this very moment filled with the world and sin. The love of God can constrain and melt and compel a soul to follow him. And it may be in our midst tonight we have again all the great doubts that face us, questions that continually confront us, and all we have in self is foolishness and weakness. Oh, friends, if we are in such a state, beg for the love of God to shine in the soul. That love will enable us to do the impossible. That love will enable us to confess his name, to face the sword and death. I often think of that. Today, friends, we call ourselves Christians, and there are those in our midst who we have put on a profession of faith. We've declared our love to Christ, our desire to follow Christ. But will we be there in the day in which we're called upon to die for his name? It often makes me tremble. I've said it the other day, and we can say it again, that Lady Huntington's question, shall I amongst the ransom stand if I'm called to give up my life? The sword, blood, death, for heaven, for God, for Christ? Shall I endure to the end? But one thing we know from past experiences, we shall, because God has decreed it and declared it, nothing to do with us. We shall, because the love of God shall enable us and constrain us and follow within us to do those things which flesh cringes from. And therefore we would exhort each one of us tonight, beloved friends, to cry unto God for the application of this blood or this love. For if it shall be poured within us and applied to us, then we shall be like God. Then we shall walk the path of a Christian. Friends, the commandments of God and the commandments of Jesus Christ are exceeding crucifying. I was thinking of that word, and when I was preparing this afternoon in Matthew 10:37, I think it is, where it says there, he that loveth father or mother more than me, he that loveth son or daughter more than me. You know what follows? He's not worthy of me. He's not worthy of me.
Well, let it examine us, dear friends. And then you could take it to that marriage supper. There was one that justified himself because he was married, recently married. There was one that justified himself because he had recently purchased some land. You can go through all of those things, dear friends. All lawful things to be occupied with. But do they have more value, more need, and more of our time than God and Christ? Religion is an exceeding personal thing. Do we love the Lord or no? Do we love Jesus or no? And is he the chiefest seat in our heart? Is the question tonight. The question that Jesus asked Peter, we may safely ask to ourselves. And the answer, dear friends, is for each one of you and me. Can we answer it positively? Or do we have to answer it, friends, negatively? The love of Christ, the love of God, is not a mystery. And by that I mean to say, it's not something that we do not know. It is not something that cannot be seen. It is not something that is, in that sense, that does not produce its effects. The love of God moves. The love of God melts. The love of God humbles. The love of God enables. That's what the love of God does. It is from God, and it has a peculiar purpose in the life of those in whom it is infused or imputed. If we have tasted of the love of God, if you have tasted of the love of God, you will know what I'm speaking of. That this high and holy God, with whom there is nothing too hard, who can do all things, has visited my soul. And what a wondrous effect it has wrought in my heart. Do we know that love? Peter did. Peter could answer in the way in which we hope and pray that each one of us can also answer, friends. Jesus has visited me. Jesus has comforted me and enabled me to answer why I do love him. His rich favors, his deep kindness in my paths of life, his visits in which he encourages and testifies time and time again, he is indeed my Savior. He is indeed my lover, my husband, my best friend. And all these other things, dear friends, they fall away or they have less importance than Jesus. That's the thing that it comes to. All other things have less importance than Jesus. Because I know him. Because I have felt his presence. Because he has lifted up my downcast soul and draw on me into his sacred arms. May the Lord be such a beloved friend and savior to us all. And let the world mock. And let the world belittle us for our confession and for our love. Or our desire to follow him. What is that to us? If Jesus be but near, all other things matter nothing. Is it so with your souls, friends? If Jesus be but nigh. Even if the Lord should come even if the Lord should reprimand, and even if the Lord should rebuke, it is the Lord. It is His favor. It is of His kindness and goodness that He has not cast me away. Now, I think of Peter in his deep fall. Oh, the Lord would have rebuked him, but He also would have cheered and encouraged him. He would have shone with His love within him and made His heart tender again. Look at how the disciples rejoice. The Lord hath appeared and risen again and hath appeared unto Peter. Oh, if the Lord would appear to you, beloved friends, and to me, with the enshining of this precious gift of God's love, how great a gift it shall be. Oh, that we might be busy day and night at the throne of grace asking for this token, this favor, this blessing. Then we will know what it is to have a softened spirit. Then we will know what it is to have a willing heart, a meek frame, an obedient spirit. Then we will know what it is to walk closely with God. That whole, a humble and calm frame. Well, friends, we've come to an end again. May the Lord forgive all that has been spoken amiss again this evening hour. But above all, may He bless our never-dying souls with the rich enshrining of this precious theme of God's love. May He reveal the redeeming love of Jesus Christ in your hearts and in mine. May He show us something of that great work of His in that what we call sanctification. As the Lord continually reveals who He is to a poor sinner. As the Lord continually comes to encourage His children in the ways they walk. And melts their hearts with that love of God. Making them willing, obedient children. And so He shall have all the praise and all the honor and all the glory forever and ever. But beloved friends, our hearts shall surely be cheered. And our hearts shall surely be able to speak with Peter and say, Lord, Thou who knowest all things, knowest inside my heart that I love Thee. Oh, my meditations are on Thee. My thoughts are toward Thee. And my heart burns in anticipation of another visit of Thy love to me. And so may you and I be blessed, friends, with this rich enshrining of God's love in Jesus Christ. Amen. Sing from hymn number 1066. Do not I love Thee, dearest Lord? Behold my heart and see, and cast each hated idol down that dares to rival Thee. 1066.
thou be pleased to forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship again this evening hour. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. Those who sing in doxology.